Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Heed Army podcast. Just before we go any further, we'll get this out of the way because it's going to be a very busy show. Thank you to our sponsors, Northern Print Solutions and Patrick. And of course, subscribe if you already haven't. Now, of course, this week has been full of headlines, whether it be wonder goals in the FA Cup, a torrid draw in the FA Cup travel-wise, and also, well, the elephant in the room, Mike Williamson has left to go to MK Dons, along with Ian Watson and Chris Bell. And it's all here to talk about. And we've got a great lineup, as ever, here on the Heed Army podcast. We've got Mark Crothers joining us. We've got Mickey and Davey Steele. And just before we go any further, of course, there's bad weather at the moment. But Davey Steele is just, this is fresh from about an hour and a half ago. This is what he's dealing with at the minute. See, he looks fresh as a daisy there. This is why. There you go. That's why he's having a drink, because he's only just managed to get in the house. But
I'm only drinking because I hate football.
Yeah.
What a week it's been.
It's been highs, it's been lows. It's been an indifferent cup draw. I think it's probably the best way to describe this week. But of course, we'll go with the news at the top. Before we do that, lots of messages coming in. Please, I'll put them up while we're all talking. Everyone just keep sending your messages and we'll get the questions out when we get a chance. Lads, of course, the news broke on Tuesday. It was officially confirmed in the evening, and it was a long day of waiting. First things first, I'd like to say a massive thank you to Mike Williamson, Ian Watson and Chris Bell. I don't think we ever got Belly on the show, but I spoke to him at Wembley, and what a lovely man as Ian and Mike are. They fully deserve this opportunity to go into the Football League. Say what you will about MK Dons, about how they came about. You look at that stadium, you look at the league they're in, and the prospects are, they're endless. They can go right up the top of that club. And I wish them all the best. And just like to say a big thank you for everything they've done, not only for the podcast, but for the club. And I think all of us have been touched by them. I think Mark has probably got his own stories as well of working with Mike and Ian and Chris, the very genuinely lovely people, and I'd like to get that across. And from me and the Heed Army podcast, I'd just like to say all the best and go and smash it. Mickey, I'd say your thoughts.
Where do I go from that? I fully concur what you've got to say. We're disappointed they've gone, but let's celebrate what they've done. They had no players, to being a very unattractive prospect to any players coming in. In the shape of 4 years, we've had playoff semi-finals, won the league, went to Wembley. We're six currently in the league at the minute, in a very attractive proposition to anybody who wanted to take the management on. I just kind of thank Mike, Busted, Belly enough. And I am really, really grateful. I'll never forget the memories we've had. We'll probably get into them. And I'm sorry they've went, but I fully understand why. It's a great thing for them. And I'm not particularly keen on MK Dons, but if it means Mike, Busted and Belly are going to do well, then I hope they do well. Then they can get out of there as quick as possible and get higher.
Absolutely. I mean, I started watching Gator in 1987, and you know, it's the last 4 years have been some of the most memorable, haven't they? Like some of the highs we've had, like, you know, and it's not just about like sort of what we achieved, sort of, you know, winning the National League and National League North, sorry, and go to Wembley and where we stand now, style of football, obviously. But just for small things as well, it's like, you know, look at Langstaff. You know, when they brought him back in, I was like, why on earth have you brought him back? You know, he's useless. And obviously it shows you what a good manager or management team they were. You know, managers. There's players at the club and there's players now who were there just to play for Mike and Busted, you know, as well as, you know, the style of football they were playing, which was introduced by Mike. So we can't thank them enough, can we? It's been tremendous. What a great 4 years, amazing 4 years for Gator Football Club and us as supporters.
It is. Yeah. It's and Mark, I mean, obviously, you've got to have more of a up close and personal relationship with the countless interviews you did right from the very beginning, where it was a question of where do we go, what's your plans, to him leaving, and we're like, well, wow, what a thing we've witnessed.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one, because I've dealt with God knows how many managerial departures at clubs, you know, across the Northeast. And beyond, when I worked for Non-League Daily, you kind of got used to it. But this one, on a personal level, sort of struck me a bit more. And, you know, I look at the experiences I've gone through with, you know, I've known Busted for nearly 10 years now, since he was a player at Blyth, and got to know Mike from the day that he signed for the club. I was there on that day, in Belly as well, from when he was at Spartans. So, just three, and I think Rob Elliott had it in the piece I put out yesterday, just three of the very best blokes you'll meet in football. And I don't mean that as football people either. I mean just as human beings, just genuine top-class people, ultra-professional. I'll hold on me two memories, main memories, until we get onto that in a bit. Yeah. But I think the main thing from my point of view, and I've said it privately to them, is just a massive thank you for the professionalism in the difficult times, in the good times, and everywhere in between, because there shouldn't be one, and I'm sure there isn't, there shouldn't be one Gateshead fan that resents them for what they've done, for taking this step. It's a massive step for them, and they're going to be severely tested, but if there's one management team that I know that can rise to the challenge, it'll be these guys. And I hope in the next 10 years, I'm watching them manage a championship team or even higher, who knows. But the three of them deserve all the luck in the world.
I mean, obviously, when they came in, there's a lot being said about the time they came in. Obviously, they dealt with whatever was thrown at them very, very well. We talk about the process, and we've talked about it, you know, to a blue in the face. You know, it won people around straight away. It won people around later on. We seen behind the commentary desk the incarnations of it. I think we initially wanted to play the brand of football when we started with the formation that we're playing now. It was evident at the time that the personnel weren't up to it. Then we had went about to 4-3-3, didn't we? And there was a lot of change, a lot of inconsistency, but that's to be expected with what was happening at the time. And then we had the COVID era, which I was thinking about this the other day, was kind of a baptism of fire, because they got to spend more time on the training pitch with those players. We talk about the Langstaffs coming in and people raising an eyebrow. And then we start to hear things coming through. Yes, Macaulay's flying. Oh, hello there. The mother-in-law's here now. Get your mother-in-law jokes in. You know, we start to hear that, you know, players were looking good in training. You think, oh, well, yeah, you hear that, but can they transfer it into the league season and continue it going on? And they did, but that was due down to the men, the personnel, the way they treat the players. It wasn't, you know, I'm sure Mike can give the hairdryer treatment and Ian as well when needed, but you watch little clips that Jack McGragan puts up pre-match, it's the words, it's the process, it is the everything that comes along with them is a package. It's not about them being great, you know, like you hear about managers being that can really G a team up, but apart from that, there's nothing much else. These were the whole package. They concentrated on everything, and I don't want to keep rambling on, take it away from everybody else, because there's lots of messages coming in.
Why are you normally, D?
I know. It is. I don't want it to be, you know, swept under the carpet, just what they brought to this football club and what they've left behind. And before going any further, because I don't want it to get swept up, obviously we know that Rob Elliott has come in as, it's classed as an interim manager. It's more of a trial, I think, than anything else. But he's been part of the process. So has Louis Story, who I think has played a bigger part than what everybody realises, along with Carl Magny. So for it to be kept in-house moving forward, I think I've said in group chats, maybe with all three of you, that was my biggest worry. This wasn't the time for change. This wasn't the time for to bring a manager in from the outside, because this team had been crafted and it's still there. it just needs to be carried on the way it is. And dare I say, process 2.0, it's just got to be carried on. There might be some tweaks. Rob might have his own things he wants to put in, but they'll not go too far away from the recipe that's in place.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it. I think it's about... this is by no means a criticism. I hope it doesn't come across that way, but sometimes fresh eyes on a project can help. And yeah, although Rob, Louis and Margs are being close to it, they may well have ideas they think can work. I mean, it's going to take something to improve the side, because I think this is possibly one of the best Gateshead sides we've seen in a long, long time, and one that probably for the first time since Wembley has a genuine chance of challenging for promotion. I think it's good. Yeah, 2.0 is probably the right way to put it. There will be little changes, you may say. I watched part of training on Wednesday, and it was the atmosphere felt the same, everything felt the same, but there were just little conversations going on around the place as well, which I love seeing. So I think
Just a bit of footage of the training to see everything was, you know, back into it. There they are going out onto it. A lot of handshakes, a lot of people up for the challenge. I mean, why wouldn't you be? As we say, the club is sitting in sixth place at the moment in the first round of the FA Cup. The positives are there. It's not taking over a club that's battling relegation. This is a team, as anyone, any manager, will be chomping at the bit to get the hands on.
Without a shadow of a doubt, I've already said it. And I fully concur. I mean, me and Trina are both Gateshead fans, and Trina was worried about who was going to come in, and I know for a fact Trina was delighted when they said Rob, Louis and Mags are going to take over, and I am as well.
Yeah.
It's good that, I mean...
It felt like the right step to take. It wasn't a panic move. It's only a broken record. Yes, there's the process, and it would be a shame to rip that up and start again, especially with the players that were brought in to play this brand of football. And I think Rob has said it in numerous interviews that I've read and watched since he was announced, that they want to carry this hard work on. You know, it's not a case of, I want to implement my Gateshead, this is the way we're going to play, this way we're going to do it. You know, like, not going to do a Brian Clough coming in at Leeds. It's going to be, you know, let's carry it on.
What's Rob's background?
He's a goalkeeper in the Football League, in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Which clubs?
Newcastle.
Newcastle link, yeah.
So, I mean, obviously Rob has, you know, he's been in and around in the latter stages of his playing career, pre-seasons a lot. He's you know, obviously been helping out with coaching and things. He's had an interest in Gateshead, obviously, because Mike, his good friend, was here. And then he's obviously fell in love with the club, because you see him run around like a lunatic on a match day. I think a lot of the things he does goes unseen in that role. But yeah, it feels like the right move. It really does. And that's not just blowing smoke. It felt like the right one. I mean, me and Mickey had a conversation on the phone, and we're joking on, you know, you'd probably be surprised by the caliber of manager that would want to take on this team. And I know the club said they didn't take any, they weren't putting out for applicants, but I bet there was a few cheeky ones came in via agents. So yeah, it'd be interesting. But I think everyone probably would have wanted what's happened here in the scheme of things. Before we go any further on with it, lots of messages coming in. I'm putting them up, but we'd like to know your favourite memories of Mike, if you had any interactions, and Ian and Chris as well. As I say, they just celebrate. Let's celebrate. It's not often people come into a football club, rise it up, take it to a new level, and leave it in a better place than they found it. And they couldn't have left it in the worst place
I don't think I'd ever used the word process before until he came along anyway.
But hands on heart, could you ever have envisaged when May took over what would have been achieved?
No.
Ian, let's give them the full credit, Ian, as well. And obviously,
to be honest, after after we come back from that COVID season, did I think we were going to win the league? No. Did I think we had a shot at the playoffs? Yes. A half chance.
Yep.
And we absolutely romped away with it.
Yep.
Yep.
As I say, there's your coaching team there.
Fully agree. And then against, like, last season, you know, we always believed in it, didn't we? We even though for long periods we were in the relegation zone right up until, goodness, it was like February, wasn't it? And we still believed in them. You know, we weren't turning on them. And it would be easy to do, you know, obviously a club struggling in the relegation zone. But we just believed in what was in front of us, what he was doing, and we actually believed we'd get out, and we did comfortably in the end, you know, on paper, sort of mid-table. So phenomenal, really. And then obviously we've kicked on this season. We've moved to the next gear.
Mm-hmm. We've got a message here, and I've seen this around a few times. My biggest worry is that many Gator players does make NK Dons. Even if he does, nearly all of our players are on two-year contracts, the big ones, which is tied down. So financially, it helps the club. And even if we did lose players in a transfer window, the club now, because of what Mike, Ian and Chris put in place at the club, is a prospect where team players want to come, because the brand of football won't change. I don't think it'll change at all, you know, very much at all. And why would it change? This is what Gateshead's known for now. This is what Gateshead's success is through. And players coming in will fancy the challenge of coming to Gateshead and working in the process 2.0, as we're naming it these days.
I think, Davey, I think honestly, maybe it's just one. Yeah, I mean, so Wernie would be probably on the cards. I mean, don't get us wrong, there's some very good football players in our team, but yeah, I don't know. What do you lads think? What do you think?
I don't know. Obviously, they enjoyed working with the players. They battled to get them into this football club, and I think we'd freely admit some of them are probably playing below the level. They could probably play a lot higher. But as I said before, if they do come in for them, they're going to have to pay for them, and that's the good thing. The club will benefit financially, and that's what for us, that is a big thing. I've got a message here from Mick Scully. Do we know if the club received compensation for the lads leaving? I haven't seen anything reported. I would imagine there probably is.
There will be, they were contracted, weren't they? The manager, obviously.
Yeah. And they've took all three, so you would think that
I'd be majorly disappointed if we didn't. let's put that way.
I presume that won't be that won't be in the public domain. That'll just be sort of between the two clubs, and that'll be it.
Yeah. We've got some memories here. We've got Darcy, and she's put. I loved it when Mike gave me a birthday card. Lovely. Another one up here. To be honest, Wembley was the best day of my life I can remember, and me and Mickey were devastated. 3-3 in the semi-finals, still made it skip a heartbeat. It did. Lovely memories that, you know, will be there forever. We've got a message here saying must be strange for the management and players to have the one day in person in charge the next. Yeah. Well, to be honest, Louis and Carl were always involved in training and in the coaching side. It's been a team effort without a shadow of doubt, and that's why I think a lot of people. Oops, I've put us back properly. That's why I think a lot of us will be very happy that they've took this step. But want to hear your opinions. We're not just, you know, if anyone isn't happy, let us know. Hopefully there isn't anyone not happy. And so we're gonna have a little look around here. Luke has put
the messages up.
Favorite memory was the 21-22 season. Cannot write that season. Mike Williams in charge. Yeah, just amazing stuff. Some beautiful games and memories in that one. But I'll start with Davey. It's your favorite memory of Mike's reign.
Oh goodness!
Memory or moment.
Memory or moment, I mean, it'd have to probably be the National League North, just sort of, you know, as Mickey said there, we went into that season when we were thinking, you know, yeah, could possibly push for top seven for the playoffs, but then just to romp home with, you know, great style of football, you know, and how he brought on some of those players as well, you know, those players who were on paper didn't look particularly good, but he turned them into a good unit, and Yeah, I love that. Of course, we love that season. We won a league, for goodness sake. We actually won something. So, you know, but you know, there's all the other memories as well. Like, you know,
we spoke about Story making the jump up from the Northern League, and so did Kedwin Scott, and that gets you know, forgotten about as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was chances, there was risks took, and still to this day, the remnants of that is always going to be there this season. But obviously we've got Aidan Rutledge, another player that they've looked at and took the time to, you know, try and mould, and I'm sure that the lads will carry on with that.
To show what it means, by the way, Dave, on Tuesday, your manager goes, you know, midday it's announced, and I was actually gutted. I was for a few hours, I was actually like more, you know, gutted. I felt it once or twice before, obviously when Langstaff and Kedwin went, you know, back to Notts County. But you know, normally you know, if your manager's doing badly, you want them out of the club as fast as anything. But yeah, just you know, that shows you what it meant to be a Gated supporter and Williamson in charge.
Got a message here, and yes, technically, if you go on a company's house, it says, think, click the emotion, say, do we have a 6 million worth of debt? We don't. It's a loss of 6 million of money that was put in by previous chairman that is not going to be recalled. It is a write-off. Chairman put in loans into the club, and just, you know, that it's effectively a way of getting money into the club there. But don't worry about that. It's all clerical, that. It's never ever going to be pulled in. We've got here, I met Mike after the Gated 10K last year and got a photo of him. Also met Busted a few weeks later and a photo of him away at Maidenhead. Yeah, very sociable men. They understood that, and even said in his recent interview that they're just custodians, and that, you know, they're happy to be part of a football club, and they'll, you know, going to try and embed themselves in down there at MK Dons. Mickey, your favorite memory, and also listeners, keep sending them in. You can message like everyone else, actually. Yeah,
it was just before the season started in the Conference North. I'd been watching the lasses, and Mike was up there to give the lasses a trophy. And I had a 20-minute conversation with Mike after the lasses game. And first thing he said is, "How are you?" to me and Trina. And then he sat and spoke for 20 minutes, and he asked about my family and stuff like that, and then we talked about football and asked him why he was playing. The lad from Blythe, I think it was Nicholson, why was he playing him at centre half instead of full back? And he just explained his ways, and I just went away and I thought, wow, you know, what a man. And then the next thing is when Tony was bad, I walked through and he seen us, and he come over and he asked us how my daughter was.
Yeah,
and I thought that was a lovely touch.
Just a nice guy.
Yeah. So I'll go to mine before I go to Mark. People are still sending in theirs. When the league was won at Chorley, he went round like just to people, because obviously the players were celebrating. He went into the middle of the pitch with Busted and Belly, and they had a moment out there and a conversation, which looked like you didn't think they had won the league. It was more of a, you could see them just decompressing. And before he went back into the changing room, he come over. I think Mark had maybe just done a little interview with him, and he come over and just said, "Thanks, Dave," and then walked in. And it was that little acknowledgement, because I think he realised, you know, like everyone was there and being part of it. And it was just that little thing that he, I still find it weird that players know my name, especially when I hear Ben Clark. But, you know, in that moment, that he still had the time to go, "Thanks, Dave," and walk, you know, walk past and stuff. It wasn't like, "Oh, thanks." It was you always said hello and said your name. And, you know, same with Busted. And it's just nice.
He wasn't the most emotional of guys, was he? He was sort of, you know, whether we won 6-0 or lost 6-0, he had the same game face on. But that was him, because that was his professionalism,
that
wasn't
was
it?
The media.
Yeah.
Sorry?
I've seen him on the pitch once, and then he took someone's head off. It looked like he was going to do a WWE clothesline. He looked quite mean when he was on the pitch, but obviously,
I'll never forget his stretches. Now that was like something you'd see in a porn movie. That,
yeah, that's for the after hours podcast.
But, his stretches were bizarre. Yeah. How the hell he got that far back? He must have been a gymnast.
Yeah. We've got I hope we get compensation, sole members. I hope we get to see what income from the loss of Adam Campbell and the management team. That's down to the soul. I don't know how that's run. But people are still getting their messages in. We've got good now time to get fully behind Rob and the lads, and we're going to get into that. We've still got the game to talk about last weekend and a magnificent goal by Luke Hannant. It's things are still amazing. But you know, we've got to suck it up and say that, you know, the end of that era is gone, and it was amazing. It's something we can always look back on with, you know, fond memories. But we as football fans, we've got to
go for.
That certainly is. I mean, it's we're only just getting into November and we're sitting in the playoffs. Happy days. It's been a long.
Interestingly, for the rest of our lives, we'll be on a high with him. You know, we'll always have fond memories of him. You know what I mean? It never went downhill, and he ended up getting sacked, and we all, you know, just despised him at the end. You know, we'll always we'll always look back at what fabulous 4 or 5 years we had with him.
Yeah, definitely. Well. Mr. Doom and Gloom, he's obviously very philosophical here. Steve Farnfield, he's put, why is everyone so upset or sad? It's football. Get over it. Move up, onward and upward. Mark, Steve, just be happy once. Just be happy. Before we go any further with anymore, we'll ask Mark. Mark obviously had a lot of interactions with him, good times and bad. And what's your lasting memory of Mike?
I'm going to pick three. Sorry, this is bad. I always think it's easy to judge a character in the good moments, but sometimes it's better to judge a character in the poor moments. Mike, in his first year, obviously as a player, he'd not long been out of the Football League, obviously because he moved back up here. He hadn't really been long out of the Premier League, so I think when you have someone that does that, there's always a tendency to think this won't mean anything. You know, they're just here. You know, we could name players that have been like that. And
oh, could we not?
And I always remember being down at Boston for the playoff defeat and interviewing Mike after the game and being completely in awe and probably a little bit shocked at just how emotionally was over the defeat and how much it hurt him, but also how determined he was to make amends for it. I'm not going to say he was borderline tears or anything like that, but he was genuinely emotional about it. Mm. Felt he'd let people down. And I think that was the moment when I really realized, you know what, this means something to him. Mm-hmm. And it means more than anything I ever thought it would. I think the second one, much like Dave, is Chorley will live with me until the day I die. It really will. Seeing him, it was quite interesting because obviously everyone was in the kind of mass in the middle of the pitch. And Mike just sort of withdrew himself from it and watched on from the sidelines, taking everything in. And I went in and sort of had a quiet word with him, and you know, what was said will stay between me and him. And then the other moment would be after the Hereford game a week later, when after the trophy presentation, and because the Sunday Sun deadline's so tight now, once I've done the work at the game I'm on, I'll generally go and sit somewhere in the ground and do the rest of the work. So on that day, I was sat where me and Davey normally commentate, and I was just watching down on the pitch as everyone filtered away. And there was a moment where it was just Mike and his family in the middle of the pitch around the trophy, just them, you know, wife and kids. And obviously it had been quite an emotional season for Mike for reasons I'm fairly certain people are aware of. And it was just amazing again to see just how much it meant to his family, not even just him. So that will live with me forever, the way he was then. And I did a piece with him on the pitch, I don't often do this with managers because of the nature of the piece and some of the stuff that he said that was really personal. I made sure that I ran it past him before it went and got published. And it means a lot that he opened up in the way that he did, you know, about family members and such like. So I just think above anything, you know, they're my three favorite memories, but more than anything, it's just his sheer professionalism and the fact that, you know, sometimes managers come into clubs and just don't get it.
Yeah.
Mike, absolutely got it in every level of the club.
I can remember when I think it's when we went down to Chesterfield when we won 3-0 down there. I think it was one of the first away games I did as commentary and travelled on the players' bus. And I remember Mike came, I was already on the bus, and you kind of think, oh, former Premier League player, they're going to come on, they'll have a swagger, they'll have the big headphones, and come on. He come on the bus, he had a book that he was reading, I didn't say what book it was, and a pillow, and just come in and went, hello, everyone, hello, 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 and made sure that everyone that wasn't on the playing staff or whatever, he said hello to and asked how they were, and then didn't go to the back of the bus, sat about two rows behind, and you wouldn't know he was there. And I was like, wow, you know, this is... And then you watch the play, and you'd have his explosive tackles and headers and passion on the pitch, and then he would just retract and go back to family man Mike. You could see he was just dying to get home. And, just a lovely... And also,
a bit high bro for us anyway, Davey, because you kind of colour them in.
No, I know. I don't want to overshadow Ian Watson either. Been with the club so many years, through thin. Yes, there was thick at the end, but he was there through a lot of the thin, and you know, different times, different incarnations. And yes, he played in football. He was in academy football, but never in a million years did he probably ever believe he'd probably get this opportunity that he's got now after, you know, the work he's put in, the hours. You know, stuff that we don't even see or even think about what Mike and Ian in particular were doing behind the scenes. Mike was always very conscious to give Busted his dues and Chris Bell, as we've seen, that they do a lot of, I'm not saying they do the heavy lifting, but they do a lot of the things with them. And it's a team that's went together. You can see why they've went together. And just to Ian Watson, another lovely man, and I sent him a message. I'm not like Mark. I don't want to share what I put or what he put back. But one thing he did say, he said he's left friends for life, and that's what it means, you know. And luckily, this little football club has been able to touch people in such a way that we've got such fond memories of them as people, not just managers. Because in the past, I'll not name any managers, but you've seen them as a manager, as a cartoon villain, so to speak. You didn't know the person behind the man on the touchline, and that's changed. I think the atmosphere at the club changed because of them, because of the efforts that they made and talking to people, and I hope and I think that will continue, because Louis is very much in that mould. Rob seems very much to be in that mould, and we know Carl is as well, because Carl, you know, someone actually put it a tweet here, and it's funny because they put it, the best line commentary was at Chorley when Magny scored, come off the man, come off the Magny. He come over a week later and said that was the best thing he had ever heard. So Magny loved it as well. But yes, hello Marcus. Was that one of my worst ones, Mark, or one of the better ones?
Dave, there's that many. I'm just
it makes me laugh because I like to listen. Sorry, I've just cut across you because I've got to let you hear this more. I'll come back and I'll listen to the commentary. And when he makes one of his quips, you can probably hear the tumbleweed going across that desk where you're going, oh no.
The thing is, though, I'll do it and I look at Mark, and Mark, he won't even make eye contact with us. He just goes.
You know what? Honestly, I was absolutely over the moon that I wasn't there when Regan Booty scored his first goal.
If it hadn't been, I would have got the line out better.
Absolutely chuffed. Yeah. And I was sat in the house watching it on the stream, and I knew as soon as the ball hit the back of the net what was coming. And I've never been so close as to punching my own laptop.
So now we know how you broke your laptop, Mark. Now we
know. No, that wasn't me. No, that was my.
The thing is, Mark, it's coming again. Though he's building them up. He's been thinking about them. He spent weeks on these things.
I know, that's the worst thing. If I can just quickly just turn it round a bit, and we're talking about very much what Mike Busted and Belly did for Gateshead, and rightly so. But if you look at what grounding Gateshead have given them three to go on and build something elsewhere, you know, you think, I mean, it would have been easy for the new owners to go out and get an experienced manager and probably the many, many managers that we could name, you know, the ones that have been there and experienced non-league football at all levels and all that sort of stuff. But they took a chance on a new manager. We shouldn't forget this was Mike's first job. Busted stepped up to be his assistant. And they've repaid the club's faith a million times over. But by the same token, they've also been given that grounding. There's some quotes coming out tomorrow morning from Mike, if I'm honest, once I get around to writing them. He kind of talks about that a bit. He spoke about it today at MK Dons, so that piece should be out tomorrow morning at some point. But I don't want anyone, and I don't think anyone would do this, but nobody should think that he's gone easily and that he doesn't appreciate what Gateshead have done. He 1,000,000,000% understands the grounding and management he's been given at the club. And I just think it's a relationship that's work for both sides equally, and it's sad that it's over. But I had a good half an hour with Rob Elliott yesterday, and I can sense a lot of determination in him to take things forward.
The
video that Jack put out when he was given the speech.
Yeah,
if anyone hasn't seen it, go and watch it, because I'll tell you what, I'd imagine those players will run through brick walls from now.
Yeah, without a doubt. We've got lots of people sending messages still. Sam Pendleton, evening lads, good to see you making the leave. However, they've given us moments that will last forever. Win the league, reaching Wembley, incredible achievement. And Peavy has put all your funny commentary lines off the cuff, a la Greavesy, are scripted. two have been scripted and I've had lined up. I love them.
Weird. It's weird that it said funny.
Yeah. the ice cream one was off the cuff for Dan Ward. I know, and Mark didn't like that one at all.
I tell you, just by the by, now you sort of the last year or two, I've been watching like League Two teams for various reasons. Like, obviously, we've got Crawley Town, we've got Doncaster, we've got Notts County, we've got Grimsby. Now, yeah. Stick MK Dons in there. There's a bloody whole ex pilot Gateshead players or managers down in that division. So,
it's crazy. Did you see the FA Cup draw where Notts County's got Crawley?
Yeah.
No way.
Maybe Mike might come back one day. Well, that's if we want to take a step down when we're in the Premiership, we might give him a shot.
When Rob's getting his testimonial.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to send any messages, please do. Of course, mentioned the FA Cup. Gateshead have been pulled out away to Stourbridge. And I'm not Stourbridge, sorry. After a trip to Stourbridge, we've been
even
pulled
further.
Yeah, against we do have another guest lined up, and he's sitting in the wings, so we'll bring him in. Stu, he was actually at Stourbridge there, and while we're talking to him, we'll put the footage on in the background, because as I say, we're going to see a magnificent goal. But
it's only taken 38 minutes to start talking about the match.
I know. This is the thing, professional to the end. They still had everything. And I think if anyone watches Mike's interview, his first press conference with MK Dons, he was still concentrating on Chesterfield away the other day before he took this job. So, right at the end, pushing FA Cup. There's Louis Story doing his bit in the dressing room there. He'll be doing that a bit more now. But yeah, Stourbridge away, went down there. It was a little bit nervous watching via Twitter because there was no commentary. But the man, Stu, you were down there. What was it like in the first half? Because it felt a little bit edgy for us via Twitter.
Yeah, it was a bit tense the first half. Taking nothing away from Stourbridge, they pressed and pressed and didn't give us a chance to play the way we usually play. We had a few chances, and thanks to their keeper, they saved a couple of good saves. Come half time, I was a bit despondent, thinking, is this going to be a nil-nil draw? Are they going to sneak a quick goal in just before the end? But the last 20-25 minutes, the lads got their game together and they just overtook them. They just played the usual passing, fantastic football, and they just run out of steam. Stourbridge just sort of run out of steam and allowed us to play the way we play.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we've got a bit of footage here. We've got, there was an injury in the first half as well to Robbie Tinkler. But anyone in news on Tinkler's injury? Seen him wearing a sling in the training footage. Haven't heard anything, but I believe it was dislocated shoulder, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can give an update on that. It's in tomorrow morning's Chronicle and Journal anyway. So, Tinks has dislocated his shoulder. At the moment, they're waiting to see what happens with it. It was put back in by Chris Bell on the day. So they are just sort of waiting to see how that reacts before seeing how long he's going to be out for or if it needs any further work done on it. But obviously, he'll not be there Saturday. But, fingers crossed it's a speedy recovery. Well, he's been unbelievable this season. He's been my player of the season, by the way, Tinks.
Yeah, he's
as well.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the download of the highlights hasn't worked. They're cut off. So we won't have Hannan's spectacular goal, which was, I would love to have seen it from a different angle, even though that one captures it beautiful where Jack got it from behind the goal. But look, we went down there. It was always one of them games where you don't want to be one of the banana skins because quite a few's happened in the fourth round qualifying. But we got through. Then the draw on Monday was a tense one. I was over the moon when we avoided Eastleigh away. Little did I know, Yeovil was still in the pot. But we go to Yeovil. They're a different team to what they were last year. They're challenging to get back into this league. They've got some good players. Frank Noble still went there from Torquay, didn't he? He was originally signed there. They're still signing players. It's going to be a different task to what it was playing them last year. But if we can go and play our brand of football, then we should be able to come away with something.
You would think so. And we're good on the road. I mean, Stuart's seen a lot of the away games. You can't have seen too many away defeats, Stuart.
No. Well, I've booked up for, I think, the next four. I've just booked my hotel for Yeovil, gone down on the train. So it's going to be quite a long journey. I just hope it's a lad pull together and play like we've been playing this last couple of months, you know, bring it back.
And we've got a message here as well. Stu, was Hannan's goal there the first goal the best you've seen at a live game?
We were behind the Gateshead goal, so obviously it was quite a long way away. Mm-hmm. I think majority of us, when we had the clatter against the Hordens, we thought he'd missed. We couldn't even tell he'd scored until he went and did his slide and run towards the side. So the best I've seen on it was the replays, to be quite honest. You know, when you're at the other end of the pitch, you don't really see much play unless it's in your own half. Mm-hmm.
Here's a question for everyone. Here's a question for everyone. So this happened yesterday when I was stood waiting for the finished training. Which was the better goal, that one? Or the team goal, the 36 team goal. Which one was the better goal?
For me, I'm gonna say the Regan Booty one, the 1-2 on the edge of the box. That's still my favourite goal.
That was the same game, wasn't it?
Same game. I would go with the 37 pass one myself. I mean,
it's a phenomenal goal. I don't get us wrong, but I preferred the Regan Booty one or McBride's.
Well, I would say Conor McBride's was my favourite, the way he just took that inside the box. I mean, that was class, the way he just beat the defenders and banged that in.
Well, I think Hannett is like, it's individual skill, isn't it? That's a skill level by that individual player where the team, you know, the touch, the triangles, the push and go, you know. So I'd go for the team goal. I'm with Davey on this one.
It's going to be some goal of the season competition.
It is.
That one out there as well. Rutledge versus Dunton with a corker.
Yeah. No, it was.
There's going to be some ones. Steve Farnfield's put Mickey as John Bourne going to Yeovil via Yeovil Junction. There's one for
you. I would have to ask John.
Yeah,
live too far away to be
fair. Yeah. All our goals are great, says Charles.
Yeah,
Watt.
That's it, Charlie. Kind of disagree with that.
And we've got there. We go. Look, we've got there.
Going even further back, you've got to remember Conor Panny's fantastic goal.
Oh yeah, that was against Yeovil. Yeah, against Yeovil.
That was a fantastic goal.
So yeah, it was an absolute belter. But you know, say that the FA Cup, it's going to be exciting. You know, if we can get through, tell you what, there's a lot of non-league versus non-league ties as well pulled out in the FA Cup. So
yeah,
chance for some teams to progress to the third round, which is fantastic for non-league football. Let's just hope Gator are in contention for that. But looking a little bit before that, though, we do have Chesterfield away on Saturday, top of the league. New manager. Are we looking for the new manager effect, lads?
You know what it is? I'm going to say it. I'm just going to... I don't give a monkey's what the... Gator's got a free hit on Saturday for me. I don't like the word free hit, but we all know they're top of the league. We've lost the manager. We can go down there. There's no pressure on us. All the pressure's on Chesterfield.
But you say that, but our group of lads and their mentality, they'll not say it that way. And that's
I know that. Best thing, I'm saying, from if we're all expected to get beat on Saturday, we've lost Mike Williams. And Chesterfield fans are saying, well, we should beat them because they've lost the manager.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see predictions to see what people actually think on this game on Saturday.
Yeah, the first predictions come in. So if you'd like to send your predictions for Saturday, I'll say we'll keep going. We might even open up the lines here to, for fans to ring in or to join us on the show. Rules are don't swear. We've got 2-2 from Colin Dilbo. I think it'll be a tight game. I think the 2-1 either way. That's where I see.
Actually, I was thinking exactly the same as Colin Dilbo.
2-1 against it.
And Boiler Sports is trying to get in some action in the bookmaking game here. He's got any odds on Robert to get booked or sent off on Saturday? He's a passionate man on the sidelines. Leave him alone.
I'm sure Sandro Tenaglia let me know.
Yeah, and someone else puts something tells me Rob won't be as calm as Mike on the sideline. hey, don't cast aspersions till we see it.
He's been booked 3 times a season. He's never kicked the ball.
Come to some of the Lashes games and see some of the managers and assistants as being booked like in them games, not every week.
Before we're talking about like the highlights under Mike, that Sam's pulled up one there, but with Dalton game, when he was 2-0 down half time, and he changed tactics, and we just steamrolled them in the second half.
That was a great game, that one. We've got obviously more predictions coming in here. Trina's going 2-1 to the Heed, 2-1 to Chesterfield, says Boiler Sports, 1-1, says Sam Pendleton, 3-2 to the Heed, 1-1. Say Peter Tomlinson, my wife's from Chesterfield, so I'll say 2-2. Look,
we're an optimistic bunch, aren't we? They're an optimistic bunch, our fans.
And Leaders from Chesterfield, you still went 2-1 gated.
Good lass.
Davey, can you stop being biased and put on Steve Stanfield's prediction?
Where is it?
Yeah, I don't think he's put it up.
Oh, yeah.
Just to bring us back down to earth a little bit, you know?
Yeah, sorry, I thought I'd missed one. We've got there, keeping positive. We've got 1-0 there. We've got 3-0 to Chesterfield. And another stinker away on Tuesday. Christ, Pavey, we don't need Steve Farnfield's doom and gloom. Keep positive. 1-0 to the Heat at Rochdale. We're going further away from that game. But it should be a game it won't define our season, but it could set us up for the new era. And I think that's the best way to look at that game. And so we're going to go on a little bit longer. I don't know if Mark will stay with us past the hour. He doesn't have to, but we're going to open up the lines to bring people in. And of course, Stu as well. We might say goodbye to you in about 10 minutes so we can bring in other people. But Stu, you were down there. Lots of away games in recent years, and you've seen firsthand how they treat the fans on away games and coming over and saying thank you. And it does. I know we see videos of people haven't been there, you'll see them, all the players come over and management and shake hands and say thank you for coming. It's an expensive thing following a football club, whether it's at home, especially away, especially in this climate. It means so much more, doesn't it, just to have that little thank you.
Oh, it does. I mean, basically, once that final whistle blows, everybody's at the fence waiting for them to come across. At Stourbridge, it didn't look like they were going to come across. They stayed on the pitch. But then suddenly Hanno did his usual sliding on his knees towards us, got up and limped. Everybody just burst into fits of laughter, obviously. Yeah. And the lads suddenly just came forward and did their usual, you know. Had a little bit crack with guys. Actually had a bit crack with Lewis Story, just said welcome back to the team, you know, you've been a miss. And appreciated that little comment. So it's nice to get a little bit of interaction with the players after the game when you've travelled and you've watched the game, whether you win or lose. You know, you can sympathise with them or rejoice with them, whatever happens.
You know. Definitely, it is. It's a real, it's a nice shot in the arm. We've got a message here. We've got two assists for Lofthouse on Saturday. Looks like he's getting up to speed. Yeah, nice to see him back in after, obviously, after the concussion protocol.
By the way, had a cracking game on Saturday, Lofty. Yeah. He never stopped running.
Ah, oh, fantastic. And also, what was it like? You know, say Rutledge and Chadwick started the game. Did it change any dynamic of the way we played, or was it just business as usual?
Chadwick had a belter again, the same as he did against Dunstan. Had a couple of shots that just went wide or were saved. Mm-hmm. Rutledge was there or thereabouts, but to me, it just didn't look match fitting on Saturday. I don't know whether a Tuesday affected him. I think he was substituted, but he had his chances. But they had a good defence at one point. They stopped us scoring a few goals. The keeper saved a few, let us say. But I think Rutledge just needs a bit more game time.
Yeah,
he's definitely the first team
developer, isn't he? That's what we're, you know, that's what he's been brought in to see. Definitely. Notts County versus Crawley. I'd like to see Langstaff versus Adam Campbell. That's going to be a battle, isn't it? So sorry, Mick, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
It's all right. I'm just saying that I think Rutledge needs a goal. I think that's all that's missing from his game, really. Mm-hmm. And as for Adam Campbell, wouldn't it be ironic if Adam Campbell scored the winner for Crawley against Milton Keynes Dons? With a big smirk on his face.
Look at you trying to find stories where there isn't stories. There is some breaking news here. We do have someone in Tunisia who that was supposed to be listening, but he's actually booked a restaurant. He might be here now, he might not be, but there he is in his gated strip, Davy Armstrong. He's out there in Tunisia representing. He did put a message up earlier on about Chelsea fan wanting to put Gated in his accumulator and asking if they're any good because it's a good price. So whether or not he's give dodgy advice there, we don't know. But he's going to be watching this back, so he probably doesn't expect to see himself popping up in the podcast.
Him and Miles come to the games. I'm good mates with Davey, and he used to be Stuart's postman, believe it or not, and he's also a mine.
Yeah, but there you go.
25 years ago.
Yeah, we've got one second that hasn't come up yet. Too busy to come on the podcast, but I've already been on. Well, there we go. Who said you were invited, Boiler Sports? we put up a post. Nobody replied, but there was a few people that we didn't get to get their Dinanga Bear to. So if you did want one still, let us know. Send us a message on the on Twitter, and then we can put a... Your wife will make up more. So if you want a Dinanga Bear, £6, they're still available as time goes. This is the last one, but there will be more made if the demand is there. But then I think she's going to go under the Heat Army hats for winter. But yeah. But
She'll have to do it now.
Sorry?
She'll have to do it now.
Oh, I know.
Put it out there. Outrageous. It's
outrageous. There's no chance of her being wearing wallabies. There's no chance of getting wearing wallabies.
Well, there we go. All right. So, on that note, Stu.
Penguins.
Yeah. Don't worry. There'll be penguins coming soon on the podcast, I'm very sure. Mark, Stu, it's been a pleasure to have you on as ever. Thank you for giving us your time. And as I say, Mark, keep up the good work. Some beautiful articles as ever coming out. And as I say, I just like to meet your cringe on commentary.
I can't stick around, you know. I was joking before, if you want to.
You can stick around. No, but Stu will...
Get off. Well, keep Stuart now.
No, when there's too many, you kind of get the audio to work. But Stu, thank you very much.
Cheers.
So what I'm going to do is,
you know what's funny? It's not only me trying to get rid of him.
Yeah. Right. On the chat and on Twitter, you'll be able to see it. No, just on the chat on YouTube, there is. I've just put a link up. So if anyone would like to join us, no swearing, don't be libel. So if you'd like to join us.
Can we put a break on so I can go for a quick
change? I'll go through a little bit of housekeeping with that. So Mick's going to go to the toilet. So if you'd like to join us, you can do, and we'll bring you in. No guarantees, though, when I say who you are. Also, as well, the 400th show is coming up on the 9th of November, live from the Schooner. You're all welcome to come and join us. Should be a great night. We are having raffles and a domino card, and it will be going, yeah. And my daughter's just asking if she can go. I said, yes, you can go. We're going to be having a raffle domino card. There's going to be some great prizes. We've got a prize from Patrick. I think there's a barber coat to be won. There is going to be the signed picture that was designed for us by North Beast Media. There you go. It's an end of an era poster now with Mike Williamson on there. That should be, we're going to get that printed and signed. So that's another prize. And also, as well, there should be match day tickets and a couple other things. And the money is split between the Gated Foundation and Gated FC Ladies to help them, in their season. So please do come down. It's going to benefit, the foundation, who are doing amazing things. We'll get Steve Thornton on, hopefully, before the 400th show, so we can talk a bit more about the foundation and why we'd like it to come down, not just to have a celebration. We're going to have a cake. It's going to be Hedonomy Podcast One, but we want you to come along and, benefit the club, benefit the ladies and the foundation, because that's what it's all about.
I'm going to have lots of real ales and tell everyone what I really think of them, so I can't.
Tell the truth. You'd be on the Jack Daniels, you know that.
Truth behind the mic. Tell us exactly.
We've got J4.
What really happened down at Wembley? Anyway.
Yeah. What really happened? Yeah. I want a Wern Wallaby. Yeah. So. And Ken Richardson sends love from Malta. So fantastic stuff. So we do have Jay in the background. If Jay would like to turn on his camera and microphone, then we'd be able to bring him on. But if you would like to join us, if you look in the chat, I'll put it in again. If you want to come on the Hedonomy Podcast and talk to us, any of your favourite memories and things like that, please do join us. It is in the chat now, and you're welcome to join us. But Jay, if you can hear us, put on your mic and put on your camera. As I say, Mickey is hiding at the toilet at the moment. So we'll see if he comes back in one piece. But Davey, we did mention the weather earlier on. Is it pretty brutal up your way? Because I know, there's a town just off the island, isn't there, on the east side of Scotland that's been evacuated?
We're just getting smashed up here. Yeah, so all day it's just been. We're giving indication. We've got a wave buoy just off the east side of the island. Boats will stop sailing to the island at 1.8 meter wave height. This afternoon, the wave buoy was shown 13.2 meters.
Wow!
That's quite big for the North Sea. That's big seas. So yes, you can see why they're having problems on the east coast of Scotland and Northumberland, actually. Yeah, but Northumberland getting wrecked as well.
Well, there you go. Well, I think Jay is going to join us, but only by audio. So there we go. We're going to bring him in.
Coming on.
He's disappeared. He hasn't. Stay there, Jay. Hello, Jay.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Hello. Lovely to see you all, lads. Hello, Mickey.
Yeah. Lovely.
Happy birthday, by the way, Jay. This is my nephew. Thank
you very much. Thank you.
Well, Mickey, you've done it now. You're going to have to sing it.
I've already sang happy birthday to
Jay. Obviously, your lovely uncle here has been bringing you to the games. I know you're new to it, but what's been your favourite memory of the management team that's just left?
To me, the most important part to me of this Gated career that I've had since the start of the season, obviously at this new year, would be when we win the semi-finals against Altrincham. It was intense, I'll say. Really, really intense. We, me and Mickey were stood behind you at the time, Davey. And when we scored 3-3 and it was penalties, I, Mickey was honestly devastated. You wouldn't want to see what he would look like at the time.
Most people didn't want to see us anyway, Jay, to be fair.
Nah, but we were stood there and we were watching the penalties and I was chuffed a bit when we won to go to Wembley. I was really, really happy. And when I got there, I couldn't believe it. It was the first time ever being somewhere that I'd never been before.
I think,
and despite losing it, I thought we've came so far and we've done so well that now I think we are ready to test it.
Well, do you know, obviously you mentioned that moment and we spoke earlier as well about the Chorley one. They gave us famous moments that we can look back on now. You know, that I'm not going to equivalent to other teams, but you know, when you see famous goals replayed and stuff, and you know, well, Ronnie Radford, you know, you look at that moment, Hereford, I know Mark's shaking his head. But Gaten have got their moments now, and they're in recent times. But you know, in the past, we've seen, you know, Woke and Sutton in FA Cup glory and seeing the fans on the pitch. We've got that now. We've got those memories of getting to Wembley. We've got, you know, we've had FA Cup games. We've got a league title. I mean, you know, never in my wildest dreams. I think that's probably the Gaten fan that's embedded in us, not to think that that's going to happen. And it has. And it's happened in my lifetime. Yeah. You know, and you're a young man, Jay, and it's happened very early. I'm very jealous because I wish it had happened earlier. Yeah.
I joined 2023 in the new year, and when I first came to my first ever game, I remember the exact game that Mickey took us to, was Oldham Athletic, I think, if I remember exactly. And since that game, Gaten blew my mind away, and I just thought, hey, this is a club that I want to see more in the future of. I want to see myself there with other people. I've made new friends. I've made lots of different things with the club, and I'm glad to.
That's a nice thing. I know, obviously, you've come with a family member, but it's nice to, you know, that you've found it comfortable enough that you want to come back, and the team's playing good football and winning, which always helps. But that just shows you what it's all about, doesn't it?
Can I just come in there, lads? Jay, before you start as well, I have created a monster in my dad's house.
Hey, don't get ideas.
No, he talks nothing about Gaten, and my sister doesn't like football. She shut up, I don't want to know about football. And my father just listens to me. Even my dad's watching the games on a Saturday, isn't he? Jay?
Yeah.
even my dad is watching the games with Jay. And I think I've just created this monster, and it's an absolute privilege to take him to the match. He's absolutely Gaten daft. He's getting the goals on his phone. He's going down the front and got all the autographs off the players. You can't believe you can actually sit and talk to the players. Gobsmacked.
I met Tony Mowbray, man, for goodness sakes. I'm really glad. I know he's a Macaminal, but he was an absolute pleasure to meet.
I was joking that Trina's put that, she jokes on with Mickey that you're a lucky charm since you started coming to watch the Heat. We've won the league and went to Wembley. So
thank you very much, Trina. Thank you.
We will be in Europe next year, thanks to you. That's what it's all about, Jay. It certainly is. Yeah. And
Thank you, John.
And well, Jay, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I will be glad to have you on the podcast, mate.
Yeah.
If you ever need us any more times, just ask us, Mickey, and I will be there.
You're on standby now. Jay. But thank you very much, and we'll open it up for anyone else to come in. I'll say bye, Jay.
Take care.
Bye, everyone.
Cheers, yeah.
You know, obviously I know it's a family member, Mickey, but that's what it's all about. I mean, you know, we bring people to the games, we talk about the games, and, you know, I'm trying to entice my son to come along. He isn't really into football at the minute, and his nana's really got in his head about Newcastle, even though she doesn't watch the games. She just likes to wind me up. But, you know, it's like, but you know, hopefully one day he'll come along, he might enjoy it, he might support Newcastle, but then I'll just disown him. But on that front...
he has come to Chesterfield on Saturday, so...
Oh, fantastic. Hopefully he has a great trip, and you do as well. We've got here, what's the streaming app called again? I would love to start my own podcast. StreamYard, you can do it on there. If you have a look, you can do a free one, but it'll have the StreamYard logos on, but give it a go, see how it goes. More podcasts the better. So yeah, everyone seems to have one. Even Mark had one at one point. Are you going to bring one back, Mark?
No,
there we go.
I used to like that Northern League Matters. I quite used to like listening to that.
Yeah. Honestly, do you know what? Like, after the week I've had, I don't even want to talk about football anymore. Yeah. I'm going to take up like Tiddlywinks or something like that.
Let's talk about the excitement. Mark's going away in a couple of weeks. I'm very jealous. So even though I was there, he's off to
nice, Mark.
But New York.
Oh, for how long?
Not long enough.
Yeah.
Just get your address off David just so I can ransack your house while you're
I was going to say hi to us, Dave. there's nothing worth nicking, so I wouldn't worry. I'm actually missing the file game, so not there for that.
Who covers your work? Because obviously there's all the games still going, and goodness knows what else is happening, you know, behind the scenes. I presume you have someone covering you.
I'm very fortunate to have
minions.
A lad. there's a lad called Luke. He was a student at Sunderland University, helped me last season, and he was outstanding, and he's helped me every week this season. He's been brilliant. So he'll be at Gateshead File. Having a few days
before we bring our guest in, I've just got to say to Mark, go to Virgil's off Times Square and have a frozen mojito. Lovely.
I forgot you love it, don't you, Dave? You love New York.
If Gateshead was there playing week in, week out, I could live there if only I was a millionaire. We've got Chris joining us. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Chris. Evening, lads. How are you doing?
How are you doing?
Great. Thank you very much for joining us.
Sorry to come in out so unexpectedly, but just thought I'd hop on and that. Thanks for having us on.
That's what we wanted. We wanted people to come on, get new people on. Obviously, we're asking the question, favourite memories of Mike and Ian and Chris at the club. What's your lasting memory?
I've actually started following Gateshead since 2019 when Mike took over in the club, you know, took over the club from scratch, didn't he? But my favourite memory, I would probably have to say, I'd probably say Wembley, just because I was there with me mates, my brother was there, went down on the day, spent the day there, I mean, I've been to Wembley before, but only for like England games. But it's different watching your club there and things. So I'd probably say Wembley for me.
Mm-hmm. It is a special thing. I mean, I know we got there a few years ago, and you kind of thought, well, that's it. We've been. And
yeah,
the FA Trophy's always been one of them competitions where we flatter to deceive you. You get to the semi final, and it's always kind of Gateshead's way to just not make it, and obviously the belief in the side that was instilled by the manager, and he's two wingmen is forever ingrained in our memories in the history of the club now, and obviously that's what's got him noticed to get this move to MK Dons. I mean, were you shocked when you seen that he had went, or was it kind of something in the back of your mind you thought this could always happen?
I think I was a bit shocked. It came out on the Tuesday morning, the reports and things. Obviously, wasn't confirmed till the evening. But one thing I will say is, I can't speak for, you know, I can't speak like for the club and things. But I did think, because I know he's spent all these years at Newcastle up here and over 4 years with Gateshead. One thing I will say, like I thought he might have maybe maybe say the end of the season, and you know, I mean, I wish him nothing, all the best, but and Busted and Belly as well. But like, I know it can happen, but and I can't speak on behalf of Mike or whoever, but it was a bit of a shock, like, especially, you know, and leaving the Northeast and, you know, moving over end of the country basically. But these things happen, don't they? It's football, unfortunately, and I wish him not much from all, nothing, all the best at MK Dons.
Yeah.
I think we all agree on that sentiment, to be honest, Chris. We all thought he was settled up in the Northeast, and we knew he was ambitious. I thought it would, if he had been offered the job at Bradford City, I think they would have took that one.
Well, he's had like, I think Hartlepool and not Swillington in the past, and like, I thought if he was gonna leave, like, I thought, you know, I feared his MK Dons, but I thought it might have been like, you know, another local team, like say a Hartlepool, or I don't know, maybe a, I don't know, Carlisle, like, maybe example, but yeah.
Well, yeah, it's, as I say, it's just the way the cookie crumbles, but it's at least we've had a lovely cookie before it crumbled, and it hasn't there's still plenty of chocolate chips on that cookie, so let's not get too depressed. There's still a few bites left in it. But Chris, thank you very much for joining us. We'll leave it open for someone else to come on. Thank you for coming on. Don't be a stranger to the show, and we'd love to have you back on in the future.
Yeah, no worries. I always watch the show when I can, so thanks for having me on, and good to speak to you all.
Thank you very much. Well, if you'd like to be like Chris or like Jay, we'll put the link back up, so we'll give it another 5-10 minutes if someone comes on. If not, we'll start to wrap it up. But lovely to hear from, you know, younger fans, new fans as well, coming on. It just shows you the effect that they've had, and that's the, you know, the lasting legacy that they'll leave with. And it is an absolute pleasure. Just before we go any further forward, just if you are joining us, of course, we are having, I did mention it earlier on, the 400th show is going to be from the Schooner. Say the guys down there have always been very good to us, and at the Tons, their sister pub. So if you'd like to come down, it should be fantastic. Raffle, as I said before, goes to between Gates FC Ladies and the foundation, and it should be absolutely a stonking night. And if Jenny McCauley's making us a fantastic cake as well, which we're indebted for, this is lovely that what people are prepared to do. But before we bring our next guest on, we've got David Tron waiting in the wings. Mickey, the ladies are playing this weekend.
Yeah, big game for the lasses on Sunday. We've got Hartlepool in the cup, and if we get through this one, we'll be in the first round proper. We're the victim of a cup shock at the weekend. To be fair, at the lasses, it wasn't the full strength team. But the better team won on the day, to be fair. Which was a bit of a sickener, but these things happen.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll have a full strength squad for this Sunday, because it is a tough game. Hartlepool are a really good side. They've just went up as well from our league, so it'll be a really good game.
If they come out victorious, what level of opposition can they come up against in the first round? Is it the...
Well, you're looking at the South Shields, the Harrogates. It could be any of them from the next league up, Spennies. There's some good sides.
Some big games, So there's a lot to play for the ladies. So if you want to get down, it is at Gated Stadium. Get down to that, support the ladies in their FA Cup campaign. It's not just the men in the FA Cup, the ladies are out there representing us as well.
Coming down, bring some change, because we've got domino cards.
Oh, fantastic. Well, John Dick said he's definitely be at the Schooner. Thank you very much, we'd love to have you all there. We'll see.
Seems like there's a fair few coming down, by the way, Davey, because I know a few people are coming as well.
Yeah, should be a lovely evening. And we've got David Tron.
Hello, everyone. I'm all right. He was all right.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
I think so.
Yeah. David, I got any earphones?
I've got some in my room. Hang on, I'll see if I can get them working.
You get the let him get his earphones. A terrible feedback there.
Just while we're waiting, by the way, on Tuesday, as Black Humour goes on Tuesday, obviously there's a carnage. You wake up and there's rumours on Twitter, etc. We were obviously chatting in our group. This is before it was confirmed. And then the funniest thing was by you, Mickey, when you said, I have heard his house is up for sale. Mike's house is up for sale. He must be gone. Get away, man.
Was actually.
Tells you how football fans work, doesn't it? You say, I've seen him going to the chemist. He'll definitely be playing on Saturday. So we've got Charles Woff. The ladies are playing very well. Lots of passing, positive play. We'll say good night to Poppy and Tabitha as well. They're going to bed.
Good night.
Mr. Boiler Sports TV. He's been keep harassing where he needs 8 subscribers to get to 1,500. Yeah. So if you'd like to get into that, do that. He might insult you along the way as he did to me the other week.
I'm not subscribing because he said that the commentary was better when I wasn't on. So
did he?
Oh, hell.
Really?
What, I can kick him out of the chat and ban him, but I'll not.
It was when he had those. I nearly said something I shouldn't. The lads from the lads from YouTube on.
Right. Yeah. Just on a side note, did anyone actually enjoy that video of what the YouTube lads did?
Probably best not to bash them, Dave, to be fair.
They've got millions of subscribers, but I just felt they couldn't really...
I thought the Gated bit was canny.
Let me tell you a little secret. They were different off camera.
Right. I'm not...
Hello.
Yeah, that's
better.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, that's
better.
That's cool.
Just.
I think for me, one of the memorable moments from Mike's reign was the first season in National League North. For me, we went to Marsk in the FA Cup, that was the first away trip of the season for us. We got there and there was loads of port-a-loos. I looked at Steve and said, "It's going to be a long day," and then we ended up drawing 0-0, and we obviously ended up with a replay at the stadium. But there's that, and then at Darlington away, just after Christmas, I believe, to win that game was just amazing. The celebration from Ked as well was hilarious. But at that semi final against Barnet. To be 3-0 up at one point, to go to 3-3 in typical Gated fashion to win on penalties. Lewis Story stepping up like it's just a Sunday dinner and just rolling it in the corner. And then he went through, and then he went to 2 rows up the front. That's how excited I was when we won.
We've never had
enough having one, Dave.
Sorry,
it's bad enough having to hear you once.
I know. That's very weird.
It was some bad echo that, like, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh! I tell you what, Boiler Sport, you did put up there. When did I say that? I did see you say that.
It was on Twitter.
But you come back with constructive criticism now, though. Still think Mark can be more excited on commentary, though.
It's you don't let the highs get too high. You don't let the lows get too low.
you need the balance.
You need balance. Also, Boiler Sport, when you've got a screaming idiot next to him, you need someone.
I'm gonna be honest. I mean,
that screaming idiot Mickey sitting behind him.
I see it all the time. I think he's doing an absolutely fantastic job with the company, and Davey knows it. I don't like to blow smoke up, especially Davey's arse. But I haven't heard a better commentary, even on BBC. because he's just so balanced as well. Yeah, you can hear from a Gator's perspective, especially when Davey's screaming his lungs out. But how many compliments do you get when you're doing the stream? You're now fine. Well, you're doing a cracking job.
I can say to Mark, it's a blessing because I think our fear, I don't know if Mark does, you don't want to get pelters online, and that's just it's nice that you get recognised, but
couldn't care less.
Yeah, so
you're never going to meet them. It's just faceless.
Yeah, so it's just a case of you don't want to be the star of the show. You want to get, for me, for the company and also the podcast is these lads that are playing for Gateshead. Yes, it's not the most glamorous of clubs over the years to play for at the minute. Yes, it's in the spotlight and talked about, but when they're scoring goals and, you know, playing good, it's to get them attention and have, you know, an excited commentator is to show what's happening at the club. Yeah. And I think if, you know, yes, I might say daft things, and if one goes viral, great, but that's because it's on focus of the club, you know, and that's what it's all about. It's not about us. We're not even a cog in the wheel, are we, Mark?
But more than anything, and I know you're dying to say it, and you know I always take the mick out of you for saying it a lot. We have Ryan Reynolds, you know, seal of approval, so...
Nothing else. I think Mark would probably agree. We're not even a cog in the wheel, and it's just, you know, we're a bit that's there. Happy to be there, definitely happy, and happy to do it next to Mark.
I'd love to say it's mutual.
Oh, Mark, you hurt me so bad. So yeah, we've got agree. The commentary is brilliant. Thank you.
You're gonna make him cry. Look, he's gonna end the show.
That's me. Yeah. Yeah. To be fair, I've seen him cry twice anyway. So
yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Surely,
yeah. Never mind the pelter. Sometimes the companies get hit with bottles. Yeah, that was
my moment of the season.
The only time I thought I could go to that, you're only on about like saying stuff, and Mark's like nonchalant about it. The only time I've ever really nearly had him crack up was when I said that the referee's either pulled a hamstring or he's touching cloth.
Did you say that on commentary?
You know. Great. Sorry, I need to go back to the bottle incident.
Yeah.
Honestly, sometimes, you know, when I'm having a really bad day, I just close my eyes and remember that. Yeah. I just feel better straight away. The noise, it was like a cartoon noise, like a dunk.
When they puked up.
I wasn't
it wasn't. It was Owen Bailey that was next to us. That one. Yeah.
That was so funny.
it was terrible. I think Mark are so good together. Feels like they're married, God forbid. I bet not. Who's the husband in that one?
He wishes.
He didn't read between us before.
Was that that one there?
Aye.
Yeah, carry on what you're doing. The company is do a cracking job. Well, it's very nice. It's not about us. It's about the lads that's left us in a great position. And I think we'll wrap it up there. It's been a lovely show. We've went a little bit longer. We've added a new element by going into the unknown and inviting people on. You always worry in case.
Good idea.
Yeah. It may backfire on us one day. We'll not do it all the time. I showed you what happened to the Oldham one, didn't I? A few weeks ago. So yeah.
I'm astounded. That massive exclusive I gave you earlier on, before we came on air. I'm astounded you haven't shared that.
You know what it is? I'll get it now. One second, just before we go any further, there is breaking news. It is. It's. Honestly, I'm quite. It's one of them ones that stings a little bit. You know that you think. So, one second, it'll be with us in momentarily.
What is this? This is like Tuesday all over again.
It really is.
It really is. I've just got to find what the file name is. Yeah, so there we go. I'll find it now. One second.
Exclusive, by the way.
It is. To be honest, it's breaking. It's before anyone else. Mark is he's there with it. There we go.
What can I say?
He's got the new football manager ahead of time. Look at him, he's trying it out. And he didn't even give Rob Elliott a chance to get underneath the table. Mark Rovers are straight in it. But Mark, who made that avatar?
That's God knows.
You're being a bit generous with the mop on top there, Mark.
Okay. I thought it was Ethan Pye.
Well, there you go.
Is it one of those AI things?
I did get the new one today, and that's my first game on it. So,
I've got FM up myself. Rutledge has 7 finishing out of 20. Oh, so there we go. That's our eat. And Patrick Story is laughing at that. But no, a massive thank you to everyone. Thank you to Mark for becoming the new manager of Gated Football Club, of course. So, moving forward, it will be interesting to see how he does match day commentary and manage the club.
Sitting on the bench.
Yeah, big thank you to Stu for coming on as well, and our guests, Jay, Chris, and David. Oh, actually, I think there might be one more waiting in the wings, actually. I think someone's just come in. We'll leave that one. we've had swearing in the past off this guest. Next time. No, big thank you to everyone. We've had great viewing figures. We hope that if Ian or Mike gets to see this, they see the love from the Gated fans. It's forever grateful. But we move on to the process 2.0 with Rob, Louis, and Carl. And hopefully, as I say, the journey is just as exciting. And as I say, Mark, thank you for joining us as well. It's always a pleasure
to have you come
on and say, lend us your. Lend us his insight into football, because I think Mark is an unsung hero in North East Non-League football. And he'll pay us later for that when we get off.
He's Paul Dixon's minion.
Well, there we go. Talk, everybody. On that note,
that's for history on Total Sport Sunshine.
Yeah. Nice to play the long game on that one.
Jeez. I've waited a long time.
Make a long game, but on that one, we're going to be going. Just before we go, we don't want to say hi.
Hi.
Thank you very much, everyone. We'll be back next week, and who knows, we'll be possibly talking about two of you, as my wife is in the background there as well. So, bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.